Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
Ariana Grande and the seven rings that she shared with her six wives. You know, hey. Pete who? Like David
what?
What? Yeah, like she, I mean, honestly, in what world is it not reasonable to leave a man and date six women instead? Like, it's just, that just seems like common sense to me.
I mean, it's obviously the first thing a pop star should and would do.
The only thing that was missing was Hayley Kiyoko, her lady that she flirted with not too long ago.
She should have, imagine if she was in that video, dude.
I would have passed out. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's good? How's LA?
LA's finally stopped raining. Fucking finally.
What the fuck? It rained?
For like a week. For like 4 or 5 days. It was really crazy.
Oh my god. Are y'all okay? Are you like, what's
happening? We're recovering. We're working on it.
You're working on it. Oh my god. What the fuck? It's like fucking freezing in Texas right now, but whatever. At least the sun is shining and it snowed. It like snowed for like 30 minutes out here. Everyone freaked the fuck out and then nothing happened.
I freaked out for you. I was like messaging my friends like, dude, it snowed over there? What?
Are you okay? for y'all that don't know, if it snows in Texas, literally everything stops working. Like, people can't even like drive down the street without hitting 10 other cars because Texans are stupid when it comes to like snow and ice. It's like the apocalypse, you know, every time there's ice and snow.
Right. You know what I just I just realized, we have to do this more often. We always forget. But you, mm-hmm. Fred Papita, I'm going to introduce
yes.
you. You yes. are Fred Papita, and you live in Texas. And
yes. And you yes. are Maite, and you live in LA. What? We're two people, and we're different people.
Yes, my voice is a little fucky right now because I woke up with a sore throat, but yeah.
Aww.
It us. I'm we sorry, have different dude. Voices. We're different people. Yes.
I think, like, to people who don't know, maybe our voices sound similar, but I think my voice is, like, a little bit lighter, and yours is a little bit deeper.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, like when I've been awake for a couple hours, it's lighter. But if I just woke up, it's like, hey, what's up?
I just woke up.
Yeah. I woke up like this. Hey. So yeah. We did not go to the Women's March.
No,
we
sure
didn't. I don't have, we don't carry white guilt, you know? We might be light-skinned, but we don't carry no white guilt.
Not very much, no. Don't have a whole lot of it, gotta say. No. Still lost all my generational wealth. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, never had generational wealth. You know, started off poor.
Yeah. So,
I feel you there. We both light skin, but none of that privilege that comes with it.
I mean, we do have some privilege.
Oh, yeah. We definitely do. But then the whites, you know, they always know that we're not. They're like, ooh, who are they? They're the spicy whites.
You're not one of us.
You're not one of us.
Spicy white. Aw. I think I had that as my, like, Twitter name at one point.
Oh, didn't I think you did. Maybe like a year back or some shit.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I'm done calling you out on your white privilege. I am not joining you in that, and we're embracing that together.
No, now you gotta do what I've been doing for the past couple of years. It's just calling out my own privilege.
Facts. That's all I'm doing now, is calling out other light-skinned Latinos. Is like, all right, fuck y'all, fuck all of y'all.
That's that good shit.
Yeah, it is that good shit. We're doing all right. It.
Well, speaking of white privilege, I know both you and I have been both like binge watching all these white shows because, you know, sometimes we gotta watch things that we don't study with a passion.
These are facts. Like, sometimes we just have to like tune the fuck out of our lives and how fucking oppressed we are and just kind of like think about other shit that isn't gay. So,
at least not that gay.
Yes, it still was queer, actually. Surprisingly so, and no one told a bitch. I had to just fucking figure it out.
You didn't know?
I did not. Did you know?
I knew.
And for those that you don't know, have any fucking idea what we're talking about Sex Education on Netflix.
Yeah. Came out probably almost 3 weeks ago now, by the time this episode is out. But it's pretty good. But have you seen like them calling out this show because it's like,
oh,
it's a current show, like it's based in now, and it's in like,
but
and yeah, it's in England, but
it looks like Washington or Oregon, and they're playing nothing but music from the 80s, which I have no problem with, honestly.
And they have like the style of like America in the 90s or something.
Yeah, but everyone is British.
Yeah, everybody was calling it out. They're like, dude, this isn't like, we can't even like wear casual clothing at this point in our school education.
Yeah, all the British people were like, what the fuck is this? They're like, what kind of fucked up American UK amalgamation, John Hughes? Like, what the writer said is that it was kind of like a love letter to John Hughes, but she wanted to make it also, I don't know, digestible for Americans. And but I guess none of us, I mean, it was, I liked it a lot.
I mean, it, so was, it was digestible. Mm-hmm.
It worked. Like
the Brits were like, yo, we don't even have Letterman jackets.
Bro, because they don't, I mean, I don't think they play American football like that. They were saying they don't.
And it's not, yeah, American football is a very American thing. Yeah, so Letterman, they have real jackets. Football.
Yeah, like con tu pinche pata, but like
tu pinche pata.
I know it's bien, but like, you know, sometimes I so, forget.
But you know, it's kind of cool. Yeah. Like they did, like they touched on a lot of subjects that people don't normally touch on, which I thought was interesting.
It was like woke, but not preachy. You know, it was like very self-aware of what time we were in. You know, the music wasn't right. And the music was not self-aware. But like literally every topic they touched on was like super modern and super woke. So I was into it. Well, like what are the one things maybe we can touch on first? Because there's so many. Consent. What?
Yeah. And then like, I don't know, just like not, you know, like not being ready and like basically making you feel okay with like not being this like super sex crazed, not crazed, but like, you know what I mean? Like somebody who's really comfortable with it. People are just not comfortable with it.
Sometimes. Yeah. And to give some, and exactly. And to give some background, it's actually set in a high school, supposedly in the UK. It's like an ensemble cast. Like it's a bunch of characters, and they go into the past of everyone. They give everyone a story, so it's very like kind of like a throwback to Skins, but like funnier and not so deep and pretending to be edgy. And it's talking a lot about sex education and teenagers in the modern day and dating and technology. So just some background there. It's about teenagers in high school, but it's teaching them and talking about things that teenagers need to talk about in modern day technology.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. And I think the reason that you brought this up a little earlier, too, was because of the main chick and her likeness to a certain someone.
Yes, actually two certain people. So it's all over Twitter that the main actress is like the love child of Margot Robbie and Cara Delevingne, which if you see her, you see eyebrows and then you see like angsty white girl. So, yeah, but she's not queer. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They don't queer bait. There's no queer baiting here, guys. It's just not. She's not the gay.
Yeah, man. You think that there is a little bit at the beginning, but they kind of resolve it at the end. I was actually a little bit shook, but I also sort of called a little bit of what happened at the end.
The very end, I saw it in episode one. Because I was right? Like, wait, this is going to happen. And then they try to veer you off.
They veered you all the way the fuck off. They're like,
that first episode, at the end of it, you're like, well, maybe I was wrong.
Uh-huh. No, it was, yeah. It's super good, guys. Just go check it out if you have nothing else to watch, you know.
There's an openly queer femme black man in the show, and he is that from the beginning to the end, and it's an amazing storyline. Honestly, it's my favorite storyline so far of this month, dealing with queer people, and it's a surprise, you know, he's not... The surprise is that he's queer, and it's like, it's... dealt with very, like, I would say dealt with in a respectful way.
I think so, too. You know what else I've been watching that I was really surprised by? You know, like, what? Super shout out to, like, Canada right now. So there's this show, all six seasons are on Hulu, called Letterkenny. And
Letterkenny.
It throws you off, right? Because this is about, like... It's like it doesn't shy away from being Canadian. You know how like a lot of Canadian shows, they wash it down to be like just like sex education to be digestible by American audiences. But this show is like so unabashedly Canadian, like they don't give a fuck if you don't understand what the fuck they're saying. Like I had to turn on, they speak English, but I had to turn on the captions. But it's just so fucking Canadian, and like a lot, and I mean a lot of the women regular characters are very casually queer, and it's very like gay friendly, and it's also very weird. Like the thing is that like it's about like country hicks in Canada, as well as like these little goth dudes, and as well as like some Native Americans on a reservation, and like all these groups are sort of problematic but sort of not, and they like to fight a lot. It's just kind of like living in a small little town called Letterkenny, and it's very like, if you've ever lived in a small town, like you kind of get it, because like you just do a bunch of stupid shit because you're so bored, and that's what this show is, just doing a bunch of stupid shit because you're bored.
Letterkenny, and it's on Hulu.
Yes. And the episodes are like 30 minutes long, and the seasons, there's six, but there's only like 6 to 8 episodes per season, so it's not like hard to catch up or watch.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Like, guys, get on Hulu. Everything's on Hulu right now, except for Mosquita and Mari, which was now taken off, but you can buy
what the
Mosquita
balls
and Mari.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's off of Hulu now. I looked for it the other day.
Damn.
Yes, dude. But another thing that's on Hulu, but I haven't seen it yet, I'm fake, it's called The Kiki. Shout out to Glow, she saw it and was recommended it to me, but I've been so busy I haven't been able to watch it. But it's also, it's about, you know, house culture in New York, and house culture is, you know, like different houses in New York where they dance and,
yeah,
you know,
the pose, the ball scene,
the ballroom scene in New York. So it's on Hulu as well, but that's not what I've seen. I'm ashamed. I don't know if I'm ashamed. I'm just gonna say it, because I'm kind of ashamed of her right now. But I did like the special. I watched the Ellen DeGeneres special on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard she like really calls herself out on like her like being super fucking rich.
Yeah, being like a rich lesbian, she can't relate to us. I mean, it was cute. Like the whole thing was just her being rich, white, and unrelatable now, and that's the whole point, right? But then she kind of proved that point with the whole Kevin Hart situation, where she let him on the show and let him have a platform. And I was like, oh, so you called yourself out, and then it was true.
Yeah, you meant it. Like you're like, oh, is this like a start of something new for Ellen? Is this like a new era where she's just gonna literally buy into her own privilege? I don't know.
And that's the thing. Like, I was like, should we be mad? She literally told us she was unrelatable now.
I mean, if somebody tells me, hey, I'm just going to be super honest, I'm racist, and then they go and be racist, like, yeah, I'm going to be bad.
Should we? Okay. No, but I'm saying, like, should we be shocked or should we expect?
Shocked? No. I think I expected it even before she said it.
Yeah, okay. So that's where I am. I'm like, I'm not, like, shocked that she did that, because, I mean, she told us who she was, and so we should listen. Shout out Maya Angelou. But I like the special. It was cute. Like, I'm not gonna fucking hate on it. It was still
right.
Good.
Like, when shit's funny, shit's funny. You know,
shit's funny. Yeah. But Kevin Hart is not ever funny.
He's not funny.
He never was.
He hasn't been funny like since, you know, before we leveled up our humor levels. Like, you know, maybe like a 5-year-old will find it funny. I don't know.
Exactly. And Ellen is also not the authority on who we get to forgive.
Exactly.
She doesn't speak for black, queer, anybody.
She doesn't like speak Ellen, for anybody, period. Other than like herself and people who are rich and white like herself.
Exactly. And so like maybe if he would have had that conversation with like Lena Waithe, and he would have done some restorative justice, you know, like actively been working in like queer spaces from now on to, you know, because I feel like his impact in like straight, heteronormative, like male society is very strong. And I feel like that idea of queerness, the way that they treat queerness. And he did an interview with Terry Gross, and even he was getting defensive with her because she did not let it go. She was like, no, I'm going to call you out, bro. Like, you can't go on Ellen. She's like, I might be a straight white woman, but I'm an ally, like a real one. And so she was like, but calling him out on like very like, xenophobic, like, feminine ideas he had, like, very strange ideas of masculinity. Like, she was calling him out. But at the same time, she called him funny, and I was just like, I can't do this. Like,
God.
Yeah. But she was calling him out. She was like, oh, no, but that's a really backwards idea you have of what masculinity means. And he got super defensive. And I don't know why everyone is giving him a platform. Like, don't.
Right.
Let black queer people talk to him only, because those are the people that should be talking to him. Mm-hmm. And that's it. But yeah, that's where I feel. And I watched that special and it was kind of funny. And I feel kind of bad because I kind of don't fuck with Ellen. She's a good person, but like, she needs to not insert herself in things that aren't about her.
Right. So. Right. At some point, you got to step back, dude. You had a hell of a career. Like, step back.
Yeah. Be a real ally and have someone queer and black in that space. And then you just sit back and be like, I'm just here to like make sure you get a platform to speak to each other. But that's, you know, I'm not in that space probably because I actually care about stuff like that. And those people are in those space because they're probably really selfish, which she wanted some ratings. She got them.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
But yeah. Yeah. What else? What else have you been watching?
I'm just going to say one more thing because this banter's gone on forever. So.
Yeah, sorry.
The last thing that I finally got around to, like, I swear to God, I was like working on personal shit nonstop yesterday. And finally I was like, I just need something to like chill right before I go to sleep. That was my first mistake, saying, yeah, I'm gonna just watch a little bit of this and then I'm gonna go to sleep, because then 17 hours later, yeah, literally like 4 hours later, like three hours past my best bedtime. So I binged all of the scenes for Juliana and Valentina.
Dude, oh my God. Are you okay?
No.
Told you. Okay, guys, this is how our conversation went when I was like, dude, we have to talk about Juliana y Valentina. And she's like, maybe if I get time. And I was like, dude, find some time. And she's like, maybe. And now, oh my God.
I
finally
found the time. I honestly haven't had it.
It was worth it, right? Like, do you feel hopeful and happy?
A little bit, but I also feel mad because like I wish that I had started it like earlier instead of I'm so sleepy still. But yeah, it's so good. Like, look, it was like it's like all over again feeling what I did with, God, why am I like blanking?
Las Aparicio?
Yeah, it's like Las Aparicio all over again. Like, this is a novela. This is a real novela that real Latinos be watching. And yeah. I have a new favorite white woman of color on the screen.
You too? God. I love Juliana because she's like obsessed with Valentina. Like, she's just like heart eyes every second. Like,
no, but Valentina is the one who's always like always calling her, always looking for her, you know?
Oh, she is, isn't she?
She's always
talking about her. She's like, you know what my rich billionaire fucking girlfriend did for me today? Like, come on, guys. Okay,
wait, I think Valentina's the rich one, right?
Valentina's the rich one? I thought Juliana was the rich one.
No, Juliana's the one that's not rich.
Oh, okay, well then I stand the other one.
Valentina, because Valentina is like obsessed with her.
She
like
is, dude. I've never seen something and been like, oh, wait, they actually have real chemistry. Like, they like each other. Like, this is chemistry. Like, this is really good acting. Like, unlike what we usually get.
It's straight up, like, it's actually kind of super eerie because I know a girl that acts a lot like Valentina in real life. And so, like, watching her, I was like, oh, God, this is weird. But whatever, it was really cool.
You have a Valentina. I kind of do too. But she's not a millionaire. Okay, so this is like the thing. Juliana is like kind of like, it's like basically a regular ass novella because it's ridiculous
right.
as fuck.
It's the same trope that you see this trope a lot. It's like the
with
rich
straight people.
Yeah, the rich white man who
Prince Charming
who like
saves your life.
A poor brown girl in the city. Like, it's the same thing, but it's two girls this time.
And changes her life. And I'm like, honestly, I hate these tropes, but I love these tropes. And I didn't realize
this. The classism jumped out.
Right? Yeah. I was like, damn, I want a millionaire girlfriend too. Like, fuck it. Like, but that's equality. See, that's real equality. Like, you're giving the lesbians.
I'm here for
like,
it, dude. Like,
I'm here for this kind of equality. Like, shout out to Ada. Like, without her, I wouldn't, like, retweeting this shit all over Twitter all the time. I would have no idea what it was, but now, oh my God, I stan. Every day I wait till someone posts like their section on Instagram. I wait every day during the week.
Instagram,
I'm like,
oh, not even YouTube.
Because it goes on quicker on Instagram, dude.
I found one on YouTube that they do it really fast.
Oh, Nat Pappy.
No, There's a different one.
Ooh, I'll link you. Let me know which one goes out quicker. But shout out Ada, without you, girl. And then she told us, she was like, hey, I want to hear about this. And I was like, done. It's done, son. Like, I already watched all of it because of you a week ago. God.
Longest banter ever. Kind of worth it though. Like,
always worth it. Cause like,
Juliana,
okay,
and Valentina on Amar a Muerte. Like, if you're a novela fan, just watch the novela. But like, god damn.
But if you're gay like us, then watch it for them. But honestly, like, the thing is that Televisa wanted to censor their kisses, and
yeah, they shortened them. And stuff
they
like
shortened
that.
Them. And they cut away a lot. And come on, it's a novela.
Like, but girl, in comparison to that last novela that I covered, I don't know if you remember the one that was based
the football
in, like,
one,
right? Yeah, one. The soccer one based in like Houston. That one was worse. They won't even show it. Like, they barely show them holding hands.
They completely censored it out. So this is actually like a huge thing in Mexico right now. It's a huge step up, like, to them to even have it. And then I don't feel like it's going to go in like one of them dies direction, because so far, like, it's just following a regular dramatic novela. Everyone's trying to break us apart. And my rich millionaire girlfriend who has a reincarnated dad in my dad's body. Like, trust me, you guys, this
that was the weird part. The dude's like, my daughter in my last life and my daughter in this current life are love. Dating. What the fuck? Spoiler alert.
But you guys, like, honestly, this is bringing me so much joy right now, because in everything else shitty, literally everything shitty happening in the world, I like to see some, like, queer love happen at the same time. And it will be well done and, like, respected. And it's so beautiful. Her relationship with her brother is just, that's my relationship with my brother, honestly. So I was like, my brother's a good brother. It was really good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shout out Beto. I stand this whole fucking show. Go watch it, you guys. It's on Televisa. Can't just watch it on the internet, girl. It's fine.
Yeah, because it's a lot. It's a lot.
And if you guys need to get it translated, just let us know. We'll link you to some places that have, like, subtitles. Or we'll just tell you what they said. Honestly. I'll just tell you.
Sure.
But yeah, so wow, longest banter ever. Worth
God,
it.
Longest. I'm gonna try to cut it down. It's a lot. This episode's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward to it. We're talking about Killing Eve and
a classic. Okay, guys, a classic no one watched. So okay, whatever. Saving Face from 2004.
It holds up. I watched it not too long ago. It's such a good movie.
Such a, like, treasure. Find it's like it's a rom-com from 2004, and everyone deserves to watch it.
It's the best. I love it. Please listen to it. Please watch it. I mean, do we know where we can watch Saving Face right now?
Oh yeah, you can watch it on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, just press play. It's on Google Play. It's on YouTube to rent. I think it's even cheaper on YouTube to rent. On iTunes. So it's everywhere that you can usually get stuff. So just Google it, Loca. Just type in Saving Face if you don't have Amazon Prime. Rent it for $2.99. It's worth it, because we're giving money directly back to queer Asian women. Worth it.
For sure. For sure. Did I ever tell you that the two actresses that started that, the first time I went to Klexicon, like, I was sitting in, like, the little, just, like, open area where you first come into the convention, and, like, they were both there, like, with their husbands. I was like, what are you doing here?
What?
Yeah. I was, goddesses. Like, trying not to stare. But yeah,
wow, they're gorgeous. They are gorgeous, and they're like icons to us. Like, I mean all of the queer women know who they are, so
right.
Wow.
So you said that you want me to start. Are you sure you don't want to start?
Yeah, I might not take that long, so maybe I'll start, because yours is more like current. Shit is not current at all.
So we'll start with Saving Face, and then we'll talk about Killing Eve a little bit.
All right, so Saving Face is one of my favorite movies of 2004. But I did not watch that shit in 2004. I was 13, guys. It's not going to happen.
But yeah, I feel that.
No, I mean, you know, I didn't have access to YouTube in the same way. But shout out to YouTube in 2007 in 10 parts, because that's how we watched all movies. That's how we watch movies, okay? So when you look at, like, American queer media, you tend to see, like, all white faces, especially back then. That's what you see. It's just white queer people, which, you know, shout out to our allies, you know. But every now and then you need to see people that aren't white. You need to see people that are living different experiences that at least somewhat resemble my experience. And so that's how I found Saving Face. I just did a lot of Googles. Like, I literally would type in, like, queer LGBT movies, not white people, you know?
Not white people.
Yes. And it's an amazing movie. It stars Michelle Krusiak, who plays Will, and Lin Chen, who plays Vivian. Two Asian women leads. Wow.
Amazing.
Concept. Concept. Amazing. Right? Like, what the fuck? And it gets better. But wait, there's
it
more.
It gets butter.
Alice Wu is both the director and the writer of this fucking movie, and a queer Asian woman. Shout out to her. We love...
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, she's. I mean, she based a lot of this... Right? She based this movie on her own experience of coming out to her family. So, what? We love personalized stories. We love people telling their truth. And this is all we ask for. So... When you give money to the movie, make sure that you're giving money to your own people, to queer women, to queer Asian women, or queer white women, because that's whatever.
You know, sometimes you gotta. Go on.
You got to. They're allies. So, shout out to that. Shout out to technology. That's how I watched it. And honestly, do yourself a favor. Go watch this movie. I love this movie because there's a lot of things happening. There's things that I can relate to, things that... queer children of immigrant can relate to. There's a lot of the movie is dealing with the pressure of being like the perfect immigrant daughter, you know, taking care of your parents, taking care of your family, making sure that you follow all of the rules and that you're a good daughter and you give your family honor, you know. And that goes for anyone who's like a daughter of like immigrant parents. There's still a lot of like this idea that you have to like protect the family, you have to do anything you can for them. So there's a lot happening in the movie where Will is being pressured to get married soon. Like, it's like, you know, like when you go to the party and your tia's like, y el novio. That's like the whole movie. The whole movie is like, y el novio, ¿dónde? Are you gonna get married? When are you having kids? Like, this is that whole movie. So it's super relatable. It's super funny because Will isn't just like trying to get, they're not just trying to marry off like a regular girl. This bit, like, she's awkward.
Right. She's like a doctor and she's just like, she's just different.
She can't, like, she just falls apart around beautiful women. And I was like, oh, representation matters. Like, this is me. Like, this is who I am as a human when I get into the world. It's like, when she first interacts with Vivian, her love interest, it's the most adorable shit in the world. Like, she has, like, she's in the most awkward position. I think she has, like, her hands down her pants, like, trying to, like, fix a wedgie. And that's when Vivian, this beautiful, like, ballet dancer, comes out of nowhere and is like, hey. And then she, like, practically falls over when she like leans in very close to her. She just like dies, and yeah. You can see it. I love it. I love this movie.
So good.
So shout out to like awkward lesbians getting their representation. Another really great thing about the movie that isn't queer, but it's just very like very very immigrant story to us, is that they're speaking actually Mandarin Shanghainese. I apologize if I didn't say that right, but they're not speaking English. They're not even trying to. They're like, fuck you, we're gonna speak our language. If you can't read subtitles, then look, you're gonna be, we're gonna evolve
you can
to
read
the point
subtitles.
Without you.
If you need to pause, right? It pause it, like, you can do it.
That's actually what I'm saying.
Just make
like,
sure that you get one that has subtitles.
Exactly. Yeah well, I mean, Amazon Prime has subtitles. Most of them do, actually. I think the movie was like that, so you're good.
Sweet.
But shout out to this movie, like, they're all speaking their natural language. And that's the movie. Like, I love it. Like, no one's trying to be... They're making fun of Americans constantly, talking about, like, oh, we know Americans. They mean it's white people.
Yeah.
And I love it. There's so much shade they're throwing at, like, white Americans. But there is some a little, like, kind of problematic stuff between the Asian women and the black men at first. But you can see how it evolves and how she becomes more open-minded towards maybe even the middle of the movie. Because Will has a... Her best friend is like her neighbor and he's a black man, and she always has him over to eat. And at first the mom is kind of like, you know, who's this, you know, black man? And then as it progresses, she's like, hey, why isn't he here? Like, where's your friend? I love him. Like, he's our family now. But, you know, in the beginning, I don't know, you know, it was written by an Asian queer woman. So I'm assuming maybe it's just an honest depiction of her mother. Like, she wasn't even trying to, like, hide who she was. And you can see as the movie goes on that she gets better. But, I mean, I'm not going to completely dismiss this immigrant woman who's probably not seen too many black men. If she doesn't leave her small knit Asian community in Flushing, Queens, you know, I'm not going to judge that. And even to have that be in a movie, she's not like sugarcoating the experience, you know. So I shout out to that, I guess, you know, like being honest about that and then how that changes.
And there's growth there.
There's growth. Know? There's so much growth there. And another fun thing about the movie is that it's in Flushing, Queens. And trust me, every single background character reflects that. You see Indian women. You see, Southeast Asian women. You see fucking everyone. Everyone's in this movie. You see black men, black women, queer people, Asian, everybody. You know, eat your heart out, crazy rich Asians. Like, eat your heart out. This is a better rom-com.
It's like, just like I had less money, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2004.
I love it was, like, Crazy the Rich best... Asians, so like, no shade there.
I like it a lot because that food scene's, but it's still like straight people being straight, right? And it could have been gay, and it would have been better. But this movie actually is gay, and it is better because all of the reasons I just been saying. Like, honestly, to me, it's better.
I think that also we have to keep in mind that like. Crazy Rich Asians, as great of a movie and comedy rom-com that as it was, it's also like our personal taste. We like to hear or watch stories that are more down to earth and like middle class, lower middle class, whereas that was like the extreme of classism. So
exactly it was like that's no one's reality except super rich people, and we are not that. Mm-hmm. So and that's what I found to be better about Saving Face, is that it's queer, written by a queer woman, and she made it about her experience. She doesn't shy away from the truth of her own community's biases towards different kinds of people, including Americans. And it another thing that happens, it's 2004, I'm gonna spoil it, not a lot though, there's more to spoil.
I've seen it like 10 times, guys, like it doesn't get worse, like you'll be okay.
It's so good. Okay, so her mom actually ends up being pregnant at 48. Shout out to her body.
She's a gorgeous woman.
Wow. Classically beautiful. And the whole movie, they're actually putting her down because of her age, and she's not married, and she shouldn't be having a child out of wedlock. Honestly, they're treating her like a child, this grown-ass woman, like a little kid. And I find that to be really honest and true to the machismo in that like family.
Their version,
you know,
of that.
Their version of machismo and their version of like how they treat women, you know. And it's, I think that's pretty honest, too. And it ends up being beautiful as the mom goes along in the movie. You start to see her subvert her own like gender expectations. Like, there's at one point she buys porn, dude. Her mom. And I was just like, wow, this is really progressive for 2004. Like, what the fuck? Like, let's go for it. Let's do it. Like, I was into that. Like, her mom was still like a full sexual being, and she was 48. So
she has a whole storyline of like trying to date and being set up on dates. It's funny because like they're doing to her mom what like they want to be doing to the daughter,
to
but
Will.
Will is like, nope.
She's a fucking surgeon and she's dating a ballerina, and it's cute. Like, I can't. It's the best thing. So there isn't a lot of coming out, so it's not necessarily a coming out story. It's more about like living with the fact.
Semi-closeted story, but like semi.
No, I think it's like a real depiction of someone who's been trying to come out, but like your parents are just too like, you know, blinders on, like no, lo que se ve no se pregunta, you know, kind of mm-hmm. situation, which is so true to our experience too. You got to come out more than once sometimes. So that's the truth to this movie, and it's so amazing, guys. Like, the world is blowing up, but for an hour and like 20 minutes, maybe less, maybe an hour 40, no more, watch Saving Face. I give it 4.5, no, maybe like 5 pan dulces, honestly.
The full 5, because there's nothing wrong with it. There's just nothing wrong with this movie.
No, it gets the full 5 because this is literally everything we asked for, representation, and it's a rom-com. Like, we get to have that with non-white people. What word? So, I mean, 5 pan dulces, guys. Like, it was amazing. Go watch it. Go improve your life. It's so good.
Yeah, no cafecitos. Like, this movie is so adorable, like, and underrated. Like, underrated by a long shot.
And no one talks about it. And, you know, we really had to struggle back in the day watching this in 10 parts, hoping that all parts were on YouTube.
Yeah, just like, and then there's that one part that's always missing, and you're just like looking for it, and you're like, fuck, where's that one part?
And you
part?
Know
like,
that was the nasty part. And I'm now finding out, as an adult, it was the nasty part, because I've never seen that part. Like, I saw it literally, hilarious. Like, the other day. I was like, wait,
you'd never seen the whole part. Thing? No. Girl.
I thought I had, but I had apparently always watched it on YouTube. So, I mean,
oh my God.
That part was missing.
You've been missing out.
Oh, yeah, that scene, you guys. Good scene. Authentic. Yes.
This is why well you done. Pay.
Yeah, it was worth it. I mean, it's on Amazon Prime, guys. So.
Or on Amazon Prime. Yeah. Okay, well, no cafecitos. I love this movie. It's so good.
I'm super excited for what you're going to talk about because it's actually current.
Yeah. I have been wanting to talk about this for a minute. Like, I've watched the series through twice now. And the second time, like, was better. I don't know how to say it. Like, it was always such a good show, but it's a show that you have to watch. You have to sit there and watch Killing Eve. You can't go through Twitter and do all this distracted watching. It's not a distracted watching show. It's a good show that you need to pay attention to because there's a lot in the dialogue. And
oh wow.
So yeah, let me just jump into it. So it aired just last year, 2018, on BBC America. It stars Sandra Oh, who was in Grey's Anatomy. She's a beautiful Asian woman. You saw her host the Golden Globes, probably. And she is basically opposite Jodie Comer, who...
Wow.
Them two together, their chemistry is off the charts. Like, I can't even handle it sometimes. But then again, honestly, in the show, Jodie Comer, who plays Villanelle, like, she kind of has chemistry with everybody. Like, with everybody, there's, like, a little something there because she's very, like, she's just... Her type of character is just that way, very playful. But yeah,
she's amazing. Yeah.
So Sandra Oh's character, which is Eve Pilastri, she, like, the general premise of this is literally, like, she becomes obsessed with a female serial killer, or who she suspects to be a female serial killer. It's kind of like a side hobby because she works for, like, MI5, or is that what it's called?
Oh, Emma? Yeah, she's like a super top secret agent.
She's like a spy, but she's like she has desk duty and she hates it. So yeah, but basically she like starts to put together like the clues here. She's like, something's going on here, and like her big theory is that it's a woman who's a serial killer and she's really good at it. And as the show passes, like, both of these women become like sort of obsessed with each other, and it's super
fun. The best part.
Super fun. It's just so fucking fun. But yeah, so a little bit more background on the show, though, is, like, unsurprisingly, before this show even premiered, it was already renewed for a second season.
So I mean,
BBC America was like, take my coins, like, it's so good. Like,
Sandra
isn't that crazy?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think they just been like doubting her, not doubting her, she just hasn't had this opportunity again because she's an Asian woman, like, and she's turning down roles left and right because she's like, you know what, I deserve to be a lead now.
Yeah, she like killed it. Like, she killed it in Killing Eve.
Pun intended. Love it.
Okay, like, let me just list out some awards, guys. Like, let me list out some awards that this season one is done. Sandra Oh won Best Performance at the Golden Globes, and Killing Eve won Best TV Series, period, at the Golden Globes. Sandra Oh won Best Actress at the Broadcast Film Critics Association Awards. Best TV Performance of the Year for Sandra Oh. At the Gay and Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association, Breakthrough Series Long Form at the Gotham Awards, Outstanding New Program at the TV Critics Association, and so many fucking nominations that I'm not even gonna try. But all of these things, she's already won this stuff.
And she's the favorite to keep winning as the years, like,
right,
she deserves
as the
everything.
Award season keeps rolling
continues,
out.
Continues, yeah, she's gonna keep winning. And she deserves it. I mean, Sandra Oh, let's give her her thing. She's amazing. She was one of the best parts of Princess Diaries. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, we know she was one of the best ones. Shout out to Vice Principal Gupta. Like, she was the shit, man.
That's funny. And one of the parts that I was pretty impressed by, and it might not seem like much of a feat, but the showrunner is a woman. And that's still a rare thing. And even more rare is it for a woman showrunner to be appreciated this much, for a show to get this much attention. So Phoebe Waller-Bridge, she created the show. She developed it. She's an English actress and a writer and a director and a producer. Like, everything. She's kind of done a little bit of everything.
Badass is what she is. Yeah.
Because you know how it is. Like, women always have to work twice as hard, and women of color have to work three times as hard just to get ahead. So this woman is 33 years old, dude. 33? And she's been acting and writing in very successful shows, and she's proven herself. And she's done a really good job. Yeah, this show is based on a book called Codename Villanelle, written by Luke Jennings. And she took it and she developed it into a series. And yeah, they were like, yes, Renew is great.
Automatically. Let's go.
Yeah, let's have this. So, like, I could honestly, like, talk about, like, the production aspects, like, the actors, the show success all day long. Like, I actually want to fill a lot of this time talking about the background of it and the success of it, because I don't want to give a lot of the plot away. I think it's so good. By the way, this is streaming on Hulu. You can stream the whole first season on Hulu, and it's like really casually queer. I know you noticed that. It's just like casual. Like, there's no like coming out thing. There's no stigma. It's just like, here it is, cool. And it's just like a small part and a small thing. But it's also like an important part of it, I think. But it's just, and it's also really fucking funny. So, like, even the violent shit sometimes, like, had me fucking cackling, because it's creative. It's, like, really creative killing. Like,
I mean, Villanelle is, like, hilarious and lovable as a murderer. Like, I can't, like, I don't.
Kill me. Like, I don't care.
Something wrong with me, right? Like,
but she's kind of, like, taken over. Like, everybody feels this way. Like, everybody's been like, wow, like, Jodie Comer killed it as a killer.
She like kind of did a queer thing before, where she was just like reading a queer story. It was like a one woman show or something, and she read like a queer thing.
Oh, okay.
Do you know, I'll send it to you, so I gotta find it first, but she's done it before and she was very believable.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to spoil it. There's a lot of stuff that's very obviously in it that you just kind of know that's in there. And it's not a spoiler to say that there's a serial killer, or that there's a lot of killing, or that there's two women who become obsessed with each other in a really weird and sadistic way. Like, keep in mind, like, before the show was on Hulu, like, when it was still on air, it wasn't getting that many views. Like, at least not legally. And, because, I mean, these days, like, the shows, they have to garner a lot of trust, because the first season, like, people don't watch that shit. Like, back in the day, like, it was different before streaming was big, or before that, like, it was just a super common thing. People would, like, take a lot more chances on shows. But now, it's like, instead of getting these one season wonders, we're getting a lot of two season wonders now, because they give them the second season based on quality instead of ratings, because, you know, once they get on those streaming channels, then they garner the attention, and then the second season gets a lot more views. So it's just changing the way that networks look at shows. So that's probably why we have a second season before the first season even aired. And yeah, so it's just like, let me take a look at that shitty series You that dropped on Netflix.
Oh god,
I was watching it like while it was still airing, because I was like, okay, queer Shay Mitchell, I'm gonna fucking watch this stuff.
And then
like now everyone's buzzing about it because it's on Netflix. Like, that's the effect that streaming has now. Like, this show has been out, but they didn't start talking about it until now. And that's not even a good show.
So no, it's not.
It's like,
don't watch it, you guys. You're going to get queer baited.
I don't like it, like, at all. Like, I'm sorry. It's like another 50 Shades of Grey shit for me. Like, I just don't like it. But there's just, I don't know. I'm kind of really interested in where the networks and the streaming is going, especially in a show like this with an Asian lead who is starting to sort of read as, like, I can't even say that, never mind. But she's, you know, she's an Asian lead. And the whites can't be like, yo, quit trying to push your agenda with an Asian lead, blah, blah, blah. Like, they can't, because this show is so fucking good. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no argument there. Like, I'm so proud of Killing Eve. Like, it's so fucking good. And like, honestly, like, I've loved her since Grey's Anatomy because I'm a big Grey's Anatomy fan. And if it was Yang's Anatomy, it would be so fucking great right now.
Honestly, she was one of the best parts of that show too. So
she was so good. And I'm also really like in this show how much they praise her beauty. They're always like, oh my god, like, she's so, like, her hair is amazing. Her hair is amazing. You hear that, like, so much in this show.
So, you know. Like,
finally, somebody's acknowledging this shit. And then her character's super nuanced, and she's really badass. And, like, if you think about it, like, all the men are sort of used, like, just to support her and Jodie Comer and or Villanelle. Like, that's all they do. That's all they're there for. Like, the men are, like, just supporting the women. It's equality. It's super cool. Like, no cafecitos to Phoebe or Sandra or Jodie. Like, hats off to all three of them. They're fucking talented as balls. Season 2 is probably going to be called Killing Maite because, dude.
5 panduces for this show, you guys. So good. We're not hyping this. It's just that good. Like, there's so many episodes where I was just like, what the fuck? Like, it felt like a thriller. Like that one episode out in the field with the running. You know what I'm talking about?
And like the running. Tension. And
the tension. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like every episode you're like, wait, what? We're going there? We're going there.
By the way, like this is like a show based in Europe. But Eve Pilastri, the main character, which is played by Sandra, she's not from Europe. So it's just kind of like really interesting. I don't know. It's really fun. You get to see a lot of different kinds of places in Europe and different kinds of people and like Russian prisons and all kinds of really cool shit.
And you never really feel bad for anybody that Eve is killing, honestly. I mean, Eve. I keep saying Eve, Villanelle. You never feel bad for who she's killing. Like, it's kind of cool.
There's probably one where I did feel a little bad, but there's also the woman who plays Petunia on the Harry Potter series. She's in it. And she just completely plays a whole different character, so that's really funny. It's just good. It's good. It's a good show. Go watch it right now. Just fucking watch it right now. Come back to this episode. I'm just kidding. Finish this episode.
But yeah. Guys, we love it.
What do you rate it?
5 pan dulces, dude. It's perfect.
Nice. Perfect show. Fucking fantastic show.
Let's kill stupid men.
I think it's coming out like in April. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's coming out. For sure in 2019, but I think sooner rather than later.
Hopefully. And we're waiting. But yeah.
Man. Okay, so let's end this episode. Hopefully in the future, you've mentioned wanting this, and I think it's a great idea. Hopefully in the future we can do a music episode. We can talk about like music videos, maybe like queer stuff. You guys should help curate this. You guys should send in submissions of like queer music stuff that you want to talk about.
Yeah, so if you have anything, just like link us on Twitter or on Instagram and let us know. And trust me, I've probably seen it, but I love to be surprised. So let us know.
At CYC Podcast, guys, like our DMs are open or our mentions are obviously open. And we'll definitely check out the stuff. We'll start carrying a little list and make a music episode.
Yes. All right.
Before we end off, I actually wanted to give a quick like Patreon shout out.
Oh, yes.
Like the Patreon people, like our Patreon followers, like supporters are the fucking best. Because of them, we've got this new mic that is just giving us all the flexibility in the world to be able to do really cool interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, that way if I fly out there, I don't have to carry like 20 pounds worth of stuff on my back.
Don't have to get TSA, like just annoyed as balls.
Yeah, and they don't deserve that right now, you guys. They
especially
need all the love.
Right now.
They need the love.
And also Patreon people, like, I hope that this is a reward for you. If this is a good thing for you to me, I fucking love One Day at a Time. One Day at a Time is coming February 8th. It's so close, dude. I can feel it.
I'm so happy.
It's like a week. No, 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks or so from today. And it's going to premiere. And so far, what we're thinking for our lovely, lovely Patreon people is to release our One Day at a Time, our yearly One Day at a Time recap
annual
episode. Mm-hmm. I'm releasing it the week after, so on Valentine's Day we're gonna release an episode just for our Patreon listeners about One Day at a Time, and the following week we'll post it on this here main podcast feed. But yeah, Patreon people, you're gonna get the episode 1 week early because we love you.
Yeah, we're giving everyone else maybe a little bit more time to catch up and hopefully finish the whole season. But we're going to binge it immediately and talk about it immediately.
Right. I just feel like our Patreon people, like, Like, they know what's up.
I
know
what's up.
I feel like they'll binge it. They'll binge it too.
Our whole thing is like Mosquito and Muddy and One Day at a Time. Like, that's our thing.
Right. We're going to be like donning some One Day at a Time swag, dude. Like, we're going to be, we're ready for this. This episode's going to be great. So, once again, our One Day at a Time episode, which you know, the premiere is February 8th. We're going to release it on Patreon on the 14th. Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
And for our loves, our true loves, our Patreon supporters.
And then it'll go full live on the 21st of February.
Yes. So, guys, it's coming. The episode is coming. We look forward to it every single year. I'm so happy and excited.
Same as that. If you guys haven't seen that trailer, go get your life.
Ugh, oh, my God. And then it's going to have Gloria Estefan this season.
Oh, I know.
It's going to have...
I was there.
I know. And you. Thank you for not telling me, because honestly, I told my mom and I was like, all I know is that Gloria Estefan's there. Who else is in the episode? You can take that.
Stephanie Beatrice and... God, I'm blanking on the name. But basically, the two Latinas that star on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes. So
they're all in the same episode.
The same episode, you guys. I'm already dead. Maitha told me it was one of the best episodes she's ever seen. So
it was fucking ridiculous. You guys are going to fucking die. And they released the names of the episode titles. So that episode, Gloria Estefan, is the first episode.
First episode. Wow.
Yeah. So you guys are going to fucking love it.
It's amazing. But anyways, this is a long, good episode. We love you guys. Have a happy Thursday. Happy weekend. Be safe. Don't do anything.
As always, please leave a rating and a review. Those are helping. Like, we've actually had a few more recently. We're getting close. We're finally getting close to that 100. We really want to get to that triple digit mark. I think that would be a really good Valentine's Day present for us. If
for us.
Go do that. Go leave us a love message. A love review on iTunes.
A love review. That's good. And if you guys want to become Patreon supporters, it's so easy. You can guys start at the $1 level.
Yeah.
You know,
$3 if you, yeah, $3 or above, they get they get extra content every single month.
You get an extra episode, and you can kind of tell us what you guys want. We're super open to that. And then Arcuidi's level is like $10 and up. Whatever you guys, you get to produce a real episode if you want at that point. Like, just let us know what you want us to talk about, and we will talk about it. So I've been talking to some of our Arcoides people, and they're kind of giving me some ideas and things we can probably cover later on this year. So
including that music episode, right?
Yes, the music episode is actually from one of our Patreon supporters, Denzel. We love you.
You're the best.
And he recommended that at some point. So
amazing. So yeah. Follow us, of course, on CYC Podcast. My personal is MYTE Panda on Twitter and Instagram.
And mine is at Fried Papita on Twitter and Cabrona on Instagram with the C A H Brona.
And for those of you who are in LA, meet me up tomorrow at the Roxy to see Alex Almonted, and I'll give you some stickers and shit. So, yeah, see you there.
Bye.
Bye, guys.